fence. That way, no one needs to be worried about getting hurt. I have just a few comments to make before we do that. It's always difficult when you're cutting budgets year after year after year, as those of you in this room, I'm sure, are fully aware. But there are some things about this budget that I'm happy about, and I'd just like to share those with you. First of all, we have the Medicaid buy-in in this bill, and it is paid for. And the health care access fund is balanced. And there are no taxes in the bill that do it. Secondly, there are no cuts to long-term care in the bill. There are no hospital cuts in the bill. There are no cuts to Merck in the bill. There are no cuts to general assistance in the bill. And there are no cuts to people on MFIP who receive Social Security disability. And considering that all of that was quite a challenge, I think you will find that while the cuts that are in the bill are not desirable, the bill is not as bad as it could have been. So with that, why don't we hand out the spreadsheets?
Print is small and my eyes are tired.
While we're handing these out, I'd just like to thank all of the staff that worked on this. It's our second budget of the session, and it's a supplemental year, so we've had quite a workout. Dennis Albrecht, our new fiscal analyst, has done a yeoman's job, and we've really given Dave Giel a workout this year, and we thought we'd send him out with a bang. And everyone else has just done a great job as well, and we couldn't do it without all the help that we get from everyone on our staff. Since this is our second budget of this session, I'd just like to point out that when you look at the spreadsheets, it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison between our budget and the governor's budget, because some of the items that were in the governor's budget we did in the GAMC bill. So I just want people to keep that in mind. And the GAMC bill savings are on top of the savings that we have in this bill for the general fund. We will not be voting on this spreadsheet today. We will be voting on it on Monday along with the language. We have a couple of members that are not here today, and we agreed that we would hold off on voting until they could be back with us. I think we're ready now. Mr. Albrecht.
Madam Chair and members, the first page is, I don't know if this is something you're accustomed to seeing on the top of the spreadsheet or not, but because of the combination of budget reductions and non-dedicated revenue from a variety of sources. I thought it would be helpful for you to be able to see that on line 21, where the list of all non-dedicated revenue is, in the general fund, there's $356.4 million of revenue that offsets some of the spending. And so that on line 30, where it shows the net fiscal impact, that's the amount for all funds. Line 31 shows for the general fund that there is a $114 million net reduction in 10 and 11 and $130.8 million in the tails. And then the other funds that are affected by the provisions in the bill are shown below that. At the very bottom of the next page, which is also page one, because these are from two different worksheets, is the heading for what is the first series of reductions on page two. Beginning on page two, line 79, is a governor's items to delay additional crisis intervention training for $200,000. On line 80 is the elimination, also a governor's item, of additional housing with support for adults with SMI. I believe this is underspending in the current fiscal year of $3.3 million. Lines 83 to 85 are a governor's proposal to reduce compulsive gambling grants on a one-time basis. The net impact on the general fund is $176,000. On line 89 is a governor's item to reduce the Mother's First and Native American grants. These reflect underspending in the current fiscal year of $389,000. On line 95 is a Senate proposal to reduce chemical dependency rates for providers by 5% for providers who currently have above average rates. That's about $2.1 million. On line 99 is a governor's item to eliminate child mental health specialty care grants. This is a new program that hasn't started yet. $400,000 for the biennium. Line 106 is a governor's item to take some money and a laundry account for state-operated services, $669,000. Going on to the next page, page three, is an ongoing operating budget reduction for state-operated services. That's a tails change of about $8 million. Sorry for the lines kind of changing. It's an odd spreadsheet. We're back now into lines 23 and 24. This is a Senate proposal to eliminate the food stamp asset limits and increase income eligibility. That's $90,000 in the current biennium.
We're having trouble following where you are.
Page 3 of 18, tab 1.
Oh, it's 131.
We have different numbers?
Oh, crap.
Did we get the ongoing budget operating budget reduction for state operated services at the top of page 3, which is line 112? Okay, so we go on from there.
Yes.
So the food stamp asset limits I was talking about are on line 131. That's $90,000. The next item is also a Senate item to revise the MFIP family cap. That's a one-time expenditure of $1,000. Line 140 is a supplemental services rate reduction. That's a TAILS change of $1.4 million. Line 144 relates to the PCA maximum hours. That's a TAILS adjustment of $3.2 million. Line 148 is a reduction in the county CCSA grants.
There are two county grants cuts that you will see in the spreadsheets. They are one time, and they are offset by the amount of the FMAP revenues that would be received by the counties when the FMAP extension comes through Congress.
Going on, excuse me, to page 4 on line 162. This is a governor's item to capture one-time underspending in the basic sliding fee program. After the governor's budget was released, we got new information that the amount available for that purpose was $7.5 million instead of the governor's $5 million. Line 175 is a Senate proposal to use some of the available TANF emergency fund money to fund the general fund portion of growth in the child care programs and also use part of that for the working family credit in the amount shown. On line 201 is a Senate proposal to reduce funding for the child care assistance programs by 5% with no corresponding reductions or interaction because of provider reductions, and that's a little over $5 million for the current biennium reduction. On page 5, on line 211, is part of the governor's proposal to align fee-related payments. It's only the part that suspends the retailer fee in Maxis. Line 218 is an ongoing provider rate reduction excluding mental health services. That's $6.4 million in the TAILS. That's for basic care. Line 223 is another provider reduction for specialty care, again, excluding mental health services, for $7 million in the TAILS. Line 246 is correcting a technical writer problem with the bill from last year that has spending of $11.6 million for all funds in the TAILS only. Line 253 is a governor's proposal to reduce a variety of special revenue fund balances for $1.1 million in the current biennium. Line 258 reflects available DISH money and the contribution of CPEs to claim it. It's details issue of $66.4 million. Line 262 is a tails proposal to suspend nursing facility rebasing. That's about $7 million. Going on to page 6, on line number 290 is the governor's proposal to limit the temporary the disability waiver growth, to temporarily limit that, I think. Line number 301 is Senate proposal. This was Senator Pretner Solon's bill for MA prescription coverage by two-way video. That saves $23,000 in the current biennium. On line number 310 is the governor's proposal to increase the Minnesota Care Managed Care withhold. That's about $7.9 million in the current biennium. Line 314 cancels an appropriation for Section 125 plans. That's $1 million in the current biennium.
And this was in the governor's budget. It was just in a different division because the administration of the 125 plan grants is in a different division, but it still affects the healthcare access fund, which is in this division.
Going on to page 7. On line number 328 is a hospital surcharge. With the corresponding increase in MA rates that offset the surcharge revenue, the net after paying back the hospitals is $48.1 million with tails of $76.3 million. Line 337 is the MA expansion. On lines 338 and 339, you can see the effect of both funds. The net result is spending of $115 million in fiscal year 10 and 11 and $475 million in the tails. On line 366 is the Senate's birth center licensing bill, which has savings of $15,000 in the current biennium. Line 371 is an ICF MR surcharge and corresponding increase in payments, along with one-time funding in 2011 for the variable rates. The net result of that is a savings of $2.4 million. On page 8, on line 377 is a nursing facility surcharge and a corresponding rate adjustment. The net result is $13.9 million in 10 and 11. Line 362 is an ongoing operating budget reduction for the Department of Human Services with instruction that there none of it should be allocated to state-operated services. That is $3.9 million in the tails. Line 387 is a proposal to end the MINDO program in January 2011 with on line 390 some funding to provide to the counties to offset their costs of moving those people into different programs. The net result is $2.3 million in savings to the general fund. Line 392, it's a proposal in the Senate that we heard actually, I think, yesterday, to have private health coverage for private duty nursing. That saves $849,000 in the current biennium and $8.6 million in the next. Line 399 is a provision in the federal health care reform bill that allowed states to claim 90% reimbursement for the health care home payments, not the actual services the people receive, but for the payments that the providers get to coordinate care, I believe. The value of that increased match is $1.4 million in the current biennium and $5.9 million in the next. On line 407 is the Senate's asthma demonstration project. That is spending of $20,000. Line 411 would delay these essential community services grants that were enacted last session. That's a savings of $959,000.
And that is because we anticipate a delay in implementing the two activities of daily living requirement. And so this program won't need to be starting during this biennium.
On line 422 are the Senate's changes to the critical access dental program. You'll see on the lines below there, in the current biennium, there are costs in the general fund, but savings in the healthcare access fund. The overall effect is a reduction of $1.9 million. On line 431 is an HMO surcharge and a corresponding increase in rates. The net result is, savings in the general fund of $14.1 million and in the next biennium, $21.8 million.
And this program will be deposited in the healthcare access fund.
On line 439 is a Senate proposal to reduce Minnesota care rate payments by 10% for adults without children over 75% of poverty, and that would be effective on July 1st. The savings from that is $14.8 million in the current biennium and $44.6 million in the next. Line 445 is the Senate's proposal, also heard yesterday, to make changes in the housing with services. The savings from that are $3.9 million in this biennium and $12.4 million in the next. Line 455 is a 3% rate reduction in the managed care non-administration payments effective July 1st. That has savings in both the healthcare access fund and the general fund. The total for both funds is about $42 million in this biennium and $126.1 million in the next. Line 462 is a proposal to institute a withhold with the intention of reducing emergency room visits.
This was in the Senate bill last year.
That proposal also has savings in both the general fund and the health care access fund. The total is $354,000 this biennium and about $2 million in the next biennium. On line 474 is a Senate proposal to delay hospital rebasing until January 1st, 2013. That saves $9.2 million this biennium and $94.1 million in the next. Moving on to page 10, on line 487 is a technical correction to do with last year's bill that has spending in the general fund of $2.2 million in the tails. Line 492 would reduce funding in the sex offender program for costs in the Department of Corrections.
And the idea here is not to end the Minnesota sex offender program treatment in the corrections system, but rather to begin having the Department of Corrections pay for those costs. And we're just taking a small increase for the Department of Corrections this biennium and the remainder in the next biennium, with the idea that if they have to ask for an appropriation next biennium, the Department of Corrections would have the opportunity to do that.
On line 496 is a Senate proposal to transfer $400,000 from the Joint Underwriting Association. That would be a one-time transfer. Line 511 is the Senate's proposal for a state-operated services redesign. The net of all of the activity is spending of $8.1 million in this biennium and $132,000 in the next.
And we did decide to pay for the general fund costs in this proposal. Consider it a gift, Department of Human Services.
Line number 522 is a proposal to extend the state COBRA subsidy, actually to carry forward spending that was enacted last time. But even after doing that, extending it and carrying the money forward, there's still $1.9 million of underspending in the Health Care Access Fund. There are no Senate items on page 11 nor page 12. We're now into the Department of Health. Line 666 is an ongoing operating budget for the Department of Health of about $1 million in the tails. Line 673 is the birth record surcharge proposal that we heard yesterday that has general fund savings of $1.3 million this biennium and about $1.4 million in the next. Line 680 is the total of two grant reductions. One is the governor's proposal to delay rural hospital capital improvement grants, and the other is a reduction in the local public health grants. Those are on line 684 and 685. The total is about $7 million this biennium.
And the local public health grants is the second part of the one-time grant reduction to counties that will offset their FMAP increase.
Chair? Does this relate to the CHIP, SHIP program?
It's FMAP. It's okay. in the extension of the FMAP that we are anticipating Congress to pass, and the counties get some benefit from it.
Okay, I see the SHIP program isn't cut.
No. Continue.
On line 703 is an operating budget reduction. It takes parts of the governor's recommendations and modifies others. The net result is a reduction of $939,000 this biennium and $1.2 million in the next.
Generally speaking, we did not cut staffing that were funded by the Health Care Access Fund in either the Department of Human Services or the Department of Health. We believe that the Department of Human Services has struggled with backlogs in their application processing, and we don't want to have further backlogs in that area. And in the Department of Health, we believe that the staff in the economics unit is going to be very much needed as we move into analyzing how we will use the tools given to us by the federal health care reform bill.
At the bottom of page 13 on line 719 is ongoing funding for the Office of Unlicensed Professionals. On line 730 is the governor's proposal for the youth camp fee clarification that affects the state government special revenue fund. I believe these next two items have no budget impact, the manufactured home parks clarifications and the health reform budget clarification. On line 744 is Senator Dahl's bill for the advisory group on administrative expenses. That's $39,000 funded out of the Health Care Access Fund. On line 748 is Senator Marty's proposal to transfer the CALS program from the EMSRB to the Department of Health. Line 752 is the licensing portion of the birth center bill, and that's in the state government special revenue fund. That's the end of the Department of Health items. Next is the Department of Veterans Affairs. Line 769 cancels an appropriation from 2007 that was set aside, provided the department met some performance indicators, which they did not.
And the rest of these items were handled in the other appropriations bill that's already passed the Senate.
That's the end of that department. The next series of items are for the health-related boards. On line 806 is...
I think maybe before we start these items, I should just give a word of explanation. The health licensing boards came forward with a different suggestion than the governor had for some savings. Their proposal would not reduce any of their operations or any of or cause any layoffs in their staff, but it still does give some savings to us. And as a part of that, there were some appropriations that were requested for some boards that were having deficiencies. So you'll see some spending items, but then you'll also see some savings.
And the... On line 806 for the Board of Marriage and Family Therapy is one of those spending items. This is spending out of the state government special revenue fund of $69,000 this biennium and $88,000 in the next. On line 829 is one-time spending for the Board of Nursing Home Administrators. Going on to page 16, on line number 851, this money is to the Board of Pharmacy for the Controlled Substances Reporting System. That was a Senate proposal. $517,000 this biennium and $712,000 next, also out of the state government special revenue fund. Line 866 is additional spending proposed by the boards for the Board of Podiatry, one-time spending of $30,000 this biennium. On line 902 is the transfer that Senator Berglund mentioned. It's a transfer from the state government special revenue fund to the general fund, which is why the total is zero. But there is a benefit to the general fund that you can see on line 904 of $743,000. Line 923 is addressing a problem in last year's bill for the Emergency Medical Services Board. The total of that problem was $450,000, which the Senate solves in part by canceling the remaining appropriation for the Medical Response Unit Reimbursement Pilot Program that was funded in the Department of Public Safety, transferring that money back to the general fund and then using the difference to pay out of the general fund, $215,000.
And the remainder of the problem is solved by not taking the governor's recommended reductions to the Emergency Medical Services Board.
Line 930 is the other half of transferring the CALS program.
Are there any questions? If there are no questions, we have time today to take some testimony from people. We'd sort of like to, as much as possible, encourage people that have already testified on an item when the bill was heard in our committee earlier not to repeat their testimony. But if you didn't get a chance to testify on an item earlier, or if you have an item that is in our spreadsheet for which we did not have a separate hearing, we'd encourage you to come forward and testify at this time. We'll start with Lyndon and Deb from the Welfare Rights Committee.
Hi, I'm Kim DeFranco from the Welfare Rights Committee, and we just wanted to say that overall the budget looks good. I know there's like hard decisions, and we do like it that general assistance was saved, and not really looking at the numbers that well, but it sounds like the refinance of TANF is going to be happening, and we always speak out against that because the money that was for TANF should be used for families, so families aren't cut off of MFIP, especially during this economic crisis. But we always say that the revenue about taxing the rich in this economic crisis is the way to go. I mean, it's because there's so many cuts, that's going to be hurting a lot of folks. So we would like that the increase in taxes would help offset some of these refinancing TANF. And it looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we'll be doing another cut to the MFIP housing grant. I'm not sure of the money. Nope. Okay. Thanks. But I think that's it. I mean, it's you know, to stay strong, we like it that when the governor's budget is just so astronomical with cuts that you've were able to stop some of them. But we encourage you to keep strong and come up with other revenue to help out in future. That's it.
Thank you very much. Are there questions? Mm-hmm. Thank you for your testimony. Anyone else?
Madam Chair, members, I'm Jennifer McNertney with Aging Services of Minnesota, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. With me are Heidi Holste with AARP and Toby Pearson of Care Providers of Minnesota. We are here to testify in opposition to the Housing with Services provision introduced yesterday that would mandate transitional consultation for any individual, private pay, or otherwise, who wishes to move into a housing with services setting. We believe that having an individual certified to live in a particular establishment is not a good way to go. We have been working with the Department of Human Services since this was proposed last session on ways to get good information to consumers upstream earlier before they are in a situation where they have to make a decision in a crisis situation. Those conversations are ongoing. In addition, housing with services providers are already giving information out to consumers when they come to their establishments. Assisted living providers are mandated to provide the Uniform Consumer Information Guide to all potential residents. In addition, all housing with services providers must give out the senior linkage line number to any potential resident. In addition, the Uniform Consumer Information Guide includes that senior linkage line number on the first page, so anyone who wishes to contact the senior linkage line for more information is given the opportunity to do so at the time of their choice, if they are so willing. Finally, we understand that the chair and the committee have difficult financial pressures they are facing this session, as for the past however many sessions, seven or eight. However, we have to go on record and oppose the 5% cut to elderly waiver providers in the customized living and 24-hour customized living programs. There were cuts made. That was in the amendment yesterday, Madam Chair. Is that still correct, Madam Chair?
I think you're still talking about the housing with services proposal.
Correct.
It sounded like you moved on to a different item.
Oh, no, it was all part of the same amendment, Madam Chair. These programs were cut a couple of times last year with the 2.58%, the 5% reduction on the 95% capped rates in case mixes for elderly waiver customized living, as well as the new elderly waiver rate setting customized living tool that is changing rates for a number of providers. Some providers will see as much as a 10% cut in elderly waiver customized living if this additional 5% was added. That hits rural providers harder than it would hit metro providers, mostly in, for example, St. Louis County or Northwest Minnesota. I will say that we are pleased to see that the committee did not include the elimination of coverage for rehabilitation services, PTOT, and speech therapy, and that the critical access dental provision does still remain. With that, I would be happy to take any questions.
So Ms. McNertney,
to continue working with the committee on this proposal. Thank you.
So, Ms. McNertney, what do you suggest we do in the area of long-term care services to get additional cuts to balance our budget?
And, Madam Chair, I know that you would like us to come back with some ideas, and we would like to continue working with you and have time over the weekend to come up with some options.
Well, we'll be interested to hear what they are.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Did either of the other of you have something else to add?
Madam Chair, I'd just like to also go back on the record thanking you for your treatment of the nursing facilities and using the surcharge to buy off any potential cuts. I believe we testified to that in front of the committee previously. Just like to reiterate that. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Doug Franzen, and I represent the Joint Underwriting Association. And I'd like to come with 3 points regarding the transfer of funds that the committee should be aware of. They're simple points, but I believe at a later time I'd like to submit the particular detailed analysis to the committee to support these points. They're as follows. First of all, the JUA funds to be transferred are not state funds. The second point is simply that the JUA, as well as the Medical Malpractice Joint Underwriting Association, is in a deficit position. We will, of course, submit financials to the committee to that. And the third point, and the most important point, which is a new point, one state that at least we're aware of, New Hampshire, has engaged in such a transfer. Subsequently, the New Hampshire Supreme Court has ruled that transfer unconstitutional. And Madam Chair, we would like, I believe it was the Cutter case, we would like the opportunity to submit that case to the committee and discuss the court's rationale. We believe it is related to our first 2 points.
We do have a fiscal note, and it does not show a deficit. It shows that the transfer would be possible.
Well, Madam Chair, I just discovered on the spreadsheet on page 10 the transfer, and I did call the JUA. And they told me that as of 3/31, the association was in a deficit position. I, of course, don't have access at this point to the financials. I could before the end of the day and submit them to the committee for its review.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to that.
Yes. And Madam Chair, if you would like, I would certainly submit the New Hampshire case and would like the opportunity to discuss why the court's holding in New Hampshire would be applicable to Minnesota as well.
Any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I'm Bruce Nelson with ARM, and I just wanted to go on record as saying thank you. This was a very difficult bill to put together, and on behalf of the providers who provide services and support to people with disabilities, on behalf of the caregivers who work day and out with people with disabilities, and on behalf of the people with disabilities our members serve, want to say thank you for not continuing rate cuts, say thank you for allowing the continuation of people to have access to dental services, say thank you in regards to rehab services, and thank you on behalf of a couple ICFMR that would go out of business and put people out into basically kicking them out of their homes after 20-some years. Thank you for reinstating the variable rate. So thanks very much. And
are there any questions? Thank you for the kind words. Anyone else? Looks like no one else has any comments they need to make today. So with that, the meeting will be adjourned, and we will be reconvening on Monday at 8:30.